Well, back in March or April, Brandon, our director of children's ministry, offered me an invitation. He invited me to consider celebrating Pride. His suggestion grew from a single Sunday on Pride weekend here in Denver into what has become our theme for the entire month of June. Pride Month has been an opportunity for us not just to consider, but to celebrate the love of God for all people. We started with the most foundational of all ideals, that without question, without exception, and without hesitation, God loves all people. Then we claimed the grace of that love for ourselves, remembering that we're not perfect and we're still growing, knowing that God's grace is sufficient to overcome our failures, and that God's grace and power can overcome our shortcomings and allow us to be proud of where we're going and where we're growing with God. We also celebrated the infinite possibility there is for us to grow into, as we remember that God knows no bounds, even when humanity might try to limit the divine. That's actually when I asked you to memorize a couple Bible verses with me. God doesn't play favorites. And if God says it's okay, it's okay. Because God has already done what God will do. God already loves who God will love. That's everybody. And God has already created people to be who God created them to be. So if God says we're okay, we're okay. Each and every person. And that means great things to us as a community. Because when we recognize the diversity present, the uniqueness in each person, diversity that God treasures, we hear an invitation. An invitation that isn't to uniformity, but to unity. A unity that celebrates the uniqueness that only you can offer, while tying us all together in that same source that Brandon reminded us of. Because there's something life-giving here, and God can bring more to it and more out of it if we recognize the potential. You see, God has been and is the source of our pride because we take pride this day, not in our own beliefs or deeds, but in a God that loves all people. And that's what we're invited to be proud of this day. This day, as we reflect on the fact that God has entrusted us to carry this message of love into the world. How amazingly crazy is that? God has entrusted us to carry this message. To be honest, I think I'm as humbled as I am proud. And the more I think about it, I think I might be as overwhelmed as I am humbled and proud. God wants us to carry the message of love to all people in the world. And I think sometimes I step back and realize what a big call that is, because this message isn't easy to carry as you might think. I mean, there are some things in this world that people respond so well to, like when you're handing out free ice cream. People tend to respond, okay, and maybe some sorbet for the lactose intolerant. We want to be inclusive. But there's something about, hey, I'm going to take God's love into the world, and you'd think everyone would just be like, yes, I love that, and yet, sometimes there's pushback. Because there are plenty of folks in this world not ready to hear this message of love and welcome for all people, especially when it's applied to the rights and legal protections of persons of sexual minority. There's always been resistance. But how much resistance there is shifting. Have you noticed? When it comes to the many societal issues surrounding gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered persons, our country is in the midst of a monumental shift right now. I tell you, it's so monumental that participants in other justice and civil rights movements, especially women and the civil rights movement throughout the 60s, folks who were active in those movements continually comment on the unprecedented speed with which change is occurring, both in cultural comfort and in the laws across our country. But even with an unprecedented rate of change, there is still great uncertainty and resistance in many places and in many people. I'll tell you, even in our own congregation, I am certain that we have a wide variety of opinions on a wide variety of specifics. Though I'll tell you, you can add that to the list of things that we can be proud of. We can be proud that we welcome differing opinions within our community. You see, the differences in opinion and perspective throughout our community and throughout our country, these differences need to be named and addressed by each and every one of us, because we've all been entrusted to carry God's message of love. And since there are as many different opinions as there are people we might encounter, we need to consider how we carry that message that's been entrusted to us. This week, the Supreme Court handed down decisions related to the Defense of Marriage Act and California's Proposition Number 8. Now, there was much conversation about the political and legal implications of these decisions, and I heard and read all sorts of commentary on the decisions, the briefs that were written, the work of the court. In reading one of the dissenting opinions written by Justice Scalia, I was struck by something. Not by something political, not by something legal, but by something relational. So I'm going to ask you, don't worry, don't get lost in any political or legal undertones here. I want you to listen for the feelings. Because yes, Supreme Court justices have feelings too. He commented on how he felt those supporting the Defense of Marriage Act have been demonized. This is what he wrote. I imagine this demonization is because it's harder to maintain the illusion of those who support it as unhinged members of a wide-eyed, lynch-yielding mob when one first describes their views. In the majority's telling, the story is black and white. You can either hate your neighbor or you can come along with us. The truth is more complicated. It's hard to admit that one's political opponents are not monsters, especially in a struggle like this one. Now, I bring this quote in because, for me, it was a glaring example in the tension between people that disagree. A less wordy and simpler example might be a status I saw on Facebook related to marriage equality. Just because I don't agree with you doesn't mean I'm a bigot. You see, this is a tough conversation. But to avoid it because it's a difficult conversation is unworthy of our call as bearers of justice and love in this world. As we get into the murkier waters, allow me to clearly state that hate speech and hate crimes are a much simpler conversation. They are wrong, they are illegal, and they are unacceptable. That's not what I'm discussing here. What I want us to wrestle with today is how we engage others who have a difference in opinion from us. How do we share our beliefs? How do we carry the message we believe God has entrusted us with to people who think God's given them a different message? If we carry God's message in such a way that others feel they're portrayed as monsters, that they feel that they're seen by us as hate-filled lynch mobs, something's wrong. In fact, not only is something wrong, but something is ineffective and something is hypocritical. And this problem is not just limited to one issue. It is something that people of faith and belief have dealt with throughout all of time. In fact, the tensions that can develop between disagreeing Christian individuals is the impetus for phrases like holier than thou and adjectives like sanctimonious. I'm sad that Christianity has offered those phrases to the world. But again, to avoid having and sharing a belief because it's difficult is unworthy of our call as bearers of justice and love. So where do we begin? We begin by asking a question and extending a hand. You see, in his sermon addressing division within Christianity, John Wesley dug deep into the often unused parts of his Bible to find a verse in 2 Kings. Now, this is in the very historical part of the Hebrew Bible, the one people often nod off in as they're trying to read through. And hear this verse from 2 Kings. When Jehu left there, he met Jehonabab, son of Rechab. This is also another reason people don't like reading this part of the Bible. Coming to meet him, he greeted him and said to Jehonabab, "Is your heart as true to mine as my heart is to yours?" And Jehonabab answered him, "It is." And Jehu said, "If it is, give me your hand." Now, There is a long and very difficult, violent biblical history that sets up this scene of these two men meeting. But suffice it to say, these two individuals come from very different places, with very different opinions, and they have very different ways of handling conflict. Let's just say that Jehu was putting a sword away as he had this conversation. And yet here in this verse, we find the tension and the difficulty of difference being bridged with the question, is your heart as true to mine as mine is to yours? You see, this is where everything starts. Are we willing to start with common ground? And I will admit that sometimes the only common ground we can find is that we both want to find common ground. But that's still somewhere. You would see it was in this sermon on this very scripture that John Wesley famously said, though we cannot think alike, may we not love alike. May we not be of one heart, though we're not of one opinion. Now, I must acknowledge the privilege with which I approach this conversation. It is far too easy as a person who is in no way marginalized by society or persecuted by a majority to stand here and say, yeah, I know that others deny who you are and want to deny you the rights afforded to other people, but can't we be of one heart with them even though we're of different opinions? I'm not asking you to invite others who have bullied and persecuted you to continue doing so just so the rest of us can have a false sense of community and relationship. It's not what I'm asking. In fact, this sermon speaks more to those of us in the majority because it is a call to those of us who have been afforded majority status and the comforts of privilege to stand alongside those who are crying out for justice so that we might help carry the weight of this work together. When John Wesley invites us to love alike, I'm reminded of the words of 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in tongues of fire, the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. What we're invited in this moment and in this reflection to do is find ways to speak God's message of love for all people with love. You see, we must call forth justice in ways that do not become noisy clanging, but those who need to hear it most are quick to dismiss. Because harsh and judgmental words are deflected. They push people away instead of drawing people in. We will never change the hearts and minds of those who feel offended. Offended not by our values, but offended by how we're proclaiming them. And I tell you, as the welcoming inclusivity for GLBT persons becomes more and more of a societal majority, we must not take on the oppressive behaviors that we have denounced so long. In fact, it's this very idea that led me to the words of Nelson Mandela this week as I held him in my prayers and thought about all he has offered our world. As he left his unjust imprisonment, he reflected, "As I walked out the door toward the gate that would lead to my freedom, I knew that if I didn't leave my bitterness and hatred behind, I would still be in prison." Our pursuit of justice in the world is one that brings all people into the freedom of God's love and in right relationship with one another. But to proclaim God's love for all people and then judge and marginalize those who don't agree with us is to imprison ourselves with bitterness and hatred. This is why we celebrate that God's grace is sufficient enough to help us grow. That's why I appreciate the question asked is your heart as true to mine as mine is to yours? Because it's an evenly proposed relationship. It requires even work of both of us. And to look at things and say, if someone's to say no, we know where we are. But if someone says yes, it then calls us to ask, is my heart in line as well? It's not simply a one-sided, is your heart true to mine? Because if so, we can move forward. It asks just as much of us to bring our hearts and offer them. The question of, is your heart as true as mine is to yours, does not ask us to forego our values, but it does ask us to embrace and embody them. For if we proclaim that God loves all people, that means that God loves those who disagree with us as well. And a grace-filled messenger of justice and love is one whose message is just as clearly heard as it is seen in the way the message is shared. How we share the message and engage those who disagree with us speaks not just to the person we're talking with, but to the world. It invites others to join us beyond those who might disagree. You see, we're called to carry this message not only to those who might disagree with us, but also to those who have not heard it, and to those who were tired of the old ways of hearing it, and to those who are fed up with the way the disagreements have been handled. How we share the message and engage those who disagree with us invites those who have steered clear of the debate because how they've seen it unfold is unpleasant. I tell you, people are watching how Christians disagree with each other. And it hasn't been such good PR for Jesus. I don't think folks care that we disagree. I don't think people mind that Christians disagree with each other. That's expected. But how we disagree, I think they care about that. When we carry the message of God's love for all people and can do so in a way that is loving, we're demonstrating a way of living and believing that's alluring. I watched this happen this week. I was honored by these words from someone in our neighborhood. "You know, I've never been religious, but seeing your church makes me realize that there is hope, that there are Christians who really do love all people." The statement was part of a much larger conversation in which I heard how the statement on our banner and the actions of this community, such as the Born This Way Ball for teens of sexual minority, are shaping the way this individual person sees not just us, but Christians as a whole. Thank you. Thank you for being the kind of congregation that is willing to carry God's message of radical hospitality and unequivocal welcome with grace and love into this world. Because it's making a difference. It is changing lives and opening relationships. Conversations like the one I had this week are why I'm so proud to carry the message that God loves all people alongside you each and every day. This is our call. This is our blessing. Amen.